Matthew chapter number 14, and we'll begin reading down here in verse number 22 this morning, Matthew 14, 22. And the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship." Notice that Jesus constrained, he arrested, he commanded, we might even say, he told his disciples, "Get in that ship to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray." Notice why Jesus did all this, because he needed some time alone to pray. Even the Lord Jesus Christ shows us how important prayer ought to be in our lives too. "And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea." Notice now the scene turns back from Jesus alone praying to now the disciples out on that ship that he told them to get on and to go. Notice again, it says, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit." Or we would say, it seems like a ghost, right? That's what they were thinking out there, was on that sea. They didn't know, in the middle of the storm, the wind, everything else. "And they cried out for fear." I'd say that's probably what we would do too, right? Be a little scared. "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord..." Now mark this word in my Bible, and I encourage you to mark it if you don't mark anything else in these verses this morning, although there's several things you really ought to mark. It said, "Lord, if..." Peter didn't know yet that it was the Lord. He said, If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. One of the shortest prayers in the Bible. Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, and notice this phrase, we'll come back to it later, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for loving us. Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us to be in your house, dear Lord, today. Thank you for each person that's here. I pray that you'd do a work this morning in our hearts and lives. How we need your help this morning, dear Lord. I need your help in my own life. Dear Lord, I need your help today to do what you've called and led me to do, and what you've led for this day, for this hour, from your word, this message. I pray that you just help me today, dear Lord. Help us all, dear Lord, to set aside all the things of this week, but to focus, dear Lord, for a little while on your word and what you would have for us today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just use me today and use your word, and that you would just speak, dear Lord, through this vessel of me and your word, your holy word, to each and every heart that's here this morning, including mine. And that, dear Father, you would just do your work in our lives today. Help us, I pray, for the lost to be saved, for the saved to be encouraged and strengthened and convicted. And just we say ahead of time, thank you for all that you've done. And we give you all the glory and honor and the praise this morning, because you deserve it all. In Jesus' name, amen. A familiar account here that we all probably are familiar with, I'm sure, of Peter. We usually term this story, this account, this way: Peter walking on the water, right? And you think about, there's some that's tried to dispute, as they try to dispute many things. There's some that's tried to dispute down through the years, did Jesus actually, excuse me, did Jesus or even Peter actually really walk on the water. Well, you read these verses and they're pretty clear. Amen. In the King James Version, it's pretty clear that they did walk on the water, both Jesus and Peter. There's really no question about that if you're honest with what the Scripture says. But you think about here this account, if you will, that Jesus told His disciples, as we pointed out in verse 22, to get on the ship. They didn't just take and get on that ship because they wanted to go somewhere. They didn't take and just get on that ship because they felt like it's what they needed to do. They didn't get on this ship just to go out on a fishing trip, did they? They got on this ship because the Lord constrained them to get on that ship. That's what you won't need to do. But yet, even though the Lord took and told them to go in that direction in their lives, and they were in God's will, if you will, they were right where He told them to be, right where He wanted them to be, guess what happened? The storm came up. Amen? You think about that, and I've thought about that many times here, and how that applies to you and I today, of how just because a storm arises in our lives does not, sometimes it does, but does not mean that we're in the wrong. Does not mean that we've committed some sin. Does not mean that we're out of God's will. It may mean that God has told us to go do that, we're doing it, and He's allowed that storm for a reason and for a purpose, as was the case here in this situation. We know they were in God's will. They were right where they needed to be, doing exactly what the Lord told them to do. And they could have even said, although I don't see it recorded that they said this in this account, they could have even said, like, what we was talking about toward in part of Sunday school this morning, when this ship arose and they were out there in this storm, they could have said when they seen Jesus later, Jesus, it's Your fault that we're stuck out here in this storm. They could have taken and blamed Him, if you will, because if You wouldn't have told us to get in this ship, we wouldn't be in this storm. Maybe that thought even runs through some of their fleshly, earthly minds as they're out there before they saw Jesus and when they saw this storm. Well, He told us to come out here and look at what He put us in. Look at this situation that He put us in. No doubt that probably did run through their minds, just speculating, knowing the way our human minds are. And you think about here they were out on the ship, the storm's there. But the Bible said down in verse 26 that they grew troubled because there was something out there on the water. They said, it's a spirit. They thought it was a ghost, as we talked about just a second ago. They cried out for fear. They were afraid. As anybody in this room, if you're an honest man, honest woman, honest boy or girl, would admit, you would be too. You think about here they were, afraid, fearful. But yet the Lord called out to them, and He said in verse 27, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. But yet they were still, at least Peter, I can say for certainty, was still not convinced 100% that this was Jesus. He was not convinced 100%. And I pointed out that word to you in his response to the Lord after He said, it's I, don't be afraid. He said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come out into the water. In other words, he had no doubt some belief it was Jesus out there because he said he was. But he still had some doubt because he said, if. He didn't say, Lord, let me come out on the water with You. He said, if it's You, if Thou, if that's You, Lord, let me come out on that water with You. And I think about, here's Peter. He had, if you will, some faith, but not really total faith, total belief that this was Jesus. But notice the way the Lord responded at this point as He told him. He said, one word answer. Come on. Come. Come out on the water. And you notice that what happened here, the Bible says, and this is really what we're going to talk about today, and when Peter was come down in verse 29 out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. The title of the message simply is this today, get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. I ask you this question today. Oftentimes when we come to this account, there's several things that are usually preached on. One thing that's most often, more often, not necessarily number one, but a lot of times that's preached on, is we talk about the fact that Peter took later on in the account, and we read it already, and we're not going to get hung up on this morning because this really isn't the message for today, although it's a good principle to lay down and a good place to preach it from. But we often get hung up on Peter took his eyes off Jesus. Amen. There's been songs written about that. There's been lots of sermons written about that. You read that and you'll see that's exactly what happened. He went out, he walked on the water, the Bible says. He walked on the water, but then at one point he took his eyes off of the Lord and began to put his eyes on the winds and the waves and the storm. And what happened? He began to sink just like that. But this morning we often are critical of Peter and we say, well, Peter took his eyes off Jesus. He shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have got his eyes on the things around him, the surroundings, the world. And we often use that to apply to ourselves of how when we take our eyes off Jesus, we begin to sink too. Amen? And that's very true and a very good point. But this morning we're going to look at it a little different way when it comes to Peter, and that was this. Don't lose sight of the fact Peter walked on the water. Amen? I ask you this morning, has anybody in here ever taken and actually walked on water before? None of us. Uh-oh.
When it was froze.
There you go. This wasn't froze. Amen? Ain't none of us ever walked on water before, have we? You think about walking on the water. I'd like to walk on the water just to say I did it, wouldn't you? It'd just be kind of a neat thing to do, I guess you might say. To tell somebody, hey, guess what I did? You know, I walked on the water. It's not every day you see somebody walk on the water, is it, Brother Gary? It's not every day you take and you see somebody walk on the water in the midst of a storm with winds and waves going. It's not every day. The storm didn't stop till they got back in the boat. You think about it's great enough to walk on the water, but it's even greater to walk on the water in the middle of a storm. I'm simply saying this morning, you think about Peter, before we jump to criticizing him for being, even though he shouldn't have been, a human fleshly being and giving in to that and taking his eyes off the Lord and taking and looking around at what was going on around him like you and I often do, we need to realize something. Before Peter began to sink, what did he do first? Walked on the water. Why did I point this out? Because simply he got out of the boat. In other words, he took and he got out of that boat. What caused Peter to take and to get out of that boat? Now, some of you might be amazed at what I'm getting ready to say, but I'm going to tell you and then I'm going to give you the scripture for it. Faith. Faith caused Peter to get out of that boat. But what did Jesus criticize him for, if you will? His faith. Sort of. Notice the verse here again. Let's read it, verse 31. And immediately Jesus, when he began to sink, of course, you read the verses before, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of what? Little faith. Now there's a big difference between no faith and what? Little faith. I give you one verse of Scripture that I know Brother Donald can quote probably better than I can. And that is talking about faith as the grain of a mustard seed. And the Lord said, if you have that, you can take and do what? Remove mountains. So Jesus really didn't criticize. He wasn't criticizing, if you will, I don't believe, the little faith. What he was pointing out was, Peter, you've got little faith. But what he was, I think, criticizing, if you will, was the last part. He said, wherefore didst thou doubt? In other words, it wasn't so much, if you will, the fact he didn't have big, huge faith, because little faith's good. Jesus talked about that. That's how you grow to big faith later. But simply the fact that he had doubted. Now, doubt's another thing. You think about here, that's what, if you will, caused him to take his eyes off Jesus. That's what caused him to begin to sink, was when he doubted the one he should have had his eyes on and should have been looking at and should have kept his faith then. And he did for a little while. Why? Because he had a little bit of faith. But when doubt crept in, what did he do? Take his eyes off Jesus and boom, down he went. I'm simply saying this morning that Peter got out of the boat. And he got out of the boat because he had faith, even though it was a little faith. This morning, I encourage you and I today to take and to get out of the boat. I ask you and I ask me today, why will we not get out of the boat? Why would a person not get out of the boat? I believe sometimes in our lives that the Lord wants us to get out of the boat as He did Peter here. Because the Lord took and, of course, orchestrated this whole event, right? They were in God's will. We've seen, we know all that. We done talked about it. But also, when Peter said, "Hey, Lord, if it's you, let me come out to the water." If God didn't want him to come and it wasn't God's will, God could have said, "No, stay in the boat. I'll come to you, Peter." But no, what did he do? Jesus said, "Come on out." It was God's will for him to take and get out of that boat. Sometimes in our lives, it's God's will for us to get out of the boat too. And when it's God's will for us to get out of the boat, and he says, "Come on, get out of the boat, child of God," you say, "But I've only got a little bit of faith." Amen. Peter did too. But you know what he did? He walked on water. You see, all it takes this morning to remove and move great mountains, all it takes this morning to do something great for God, all it takes this morning is to walk on water in your life, is to take when you hear the voice of God and to have a little bit of faith and do what He asks you to do. And don't doubt. You see, this morning, folks, a lot of times we think about men and ladies of great faith. But you start really examining those of great faith in the Bible, and although they had great faith, you really take and you see that most of the time it was like this much faith, especially in the beginning, and then it grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. Amen? Just like a plant, it's got to start with something, right? See, I always start with something. And I'm simply saying, you think about faith the same exact way today. If we had time, and we're not going to do this morning, you could look at Hebrews 11:1, and it talks about faith. And I guess you might say the definition of faith. And I got a feeling we're going to look at that real soon in the future. But simply this morning, we're talking about getting out of the boat. Why today would Peter maybe not have gotten out of the boat? What causes us sometimes today to not get out of the boat when God says, "Come"? Peter took and he got out of the boat. Sometimes I think there's three reasons this morning that we don't take and get out of the boat sometimes. Number one is complacency. Number one is complacency. You say, "What do you mean, Pastor? How in the world could you be complacent in a ship in the middle of the storm with the wind, with the waves, with everything else?" Surely that was not the problem for Peter. Well, obviously not, because he got out of the boat. But you think about sometimes why we don't get out of the boat is we get complacent. You say, "What do you mean by that?" Simply this, you think about a lot of times why we won't do something that God wants us to do when He calls to us to get out of the boat, to change some things in our lives, to go a direction He wants us to go, and even to make a commitment to the Lord and to strive to do more for the Lord, if you will, to make some commitments in our lives today, is because we've got comfortable in that ship. Oh yeah, there's storms, but we're still in our safest place, if you will, possible. We've got complacent there. "Well, Lord, I've been in this ship all my life. I've been doing things this way all my life, Lord." And we just get complacent. "Lord, You told me to get in this ship, and I'm here." Yeah, but now the Lord's telling you to do what? Get out the boat. You know what you need to do now? Get out the boat. Amen? You think about, I'm simply saying, sometimes it's time to take and be there where God wants us to be. But when God clearly says, and I'm trying to be careful this morning with how I say things, when God clearly says, "Come," we need to come. Amen? You think about simply this morning, I'm saying that sometimes the reason we don't get out of the boat is we get complacent or comfortable. Comfortable. You say, how in the world could a comfortable place be in a ship in the middle of a storm? Pastor, I think you're thinking about the wrong analogy this morning. It wouldn't have been comfortable to stay in the boat. It wouldn't. I think it would have been, because he had a choice. In the boat or in the water. If I had a choice, which one's more comfortable, on the water or in the boat, by human standards, which one's the most comfortable place? All right. So complacency causes somebody to keep in the boat. Because if you get out of the boat, you ain't being complacent. Some people say you're being crazy, and they will say that sometimes. But that's a whole other thing. But you think about complacency. Sometimes the reason we don't get out of the boats, we've got complacent right where we're at. We're comfortable right where we are. You think about the safest place for them to be by human standards, despite the storm, for their situation was to stay in that boat. Complacency could have caused them to keep there. And sometimes we take and we use this as an excuse this morning. I'm not going to spend much time on this because we got other things. But sometimes we'll use the excuse and get confused on the difference between these two, and they're vastly different: content and complacent. God told us to be content in whatsoever things He's given us. Where we're at, we need to be content. But complacency is a whole nother thing. It's a whole nother thing. Content, but not complacent. You think about this morning, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1 through 5. I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time this morning. But if you take and you read that verse there, that's talking to one of those seven churches in the book of Revelation. And if you take and you read that, the church there that's mentioned in chapter 2 verses 1 through 5, the Lord talks about all the great things that church had done. They had labored, they hadn't fainted, they had worked. But then it says there's one thing they had done. They had left their first love. In other words, what had they done? They had grown complacent. You see, a lot of times a day we can be busy doing things for God, but we can still be what? Complacent. And when God says, I want you to do more, I want you to step out of the boat, what do? Sometimes we say, Lord, I'm staying right here in the boat. It's comfortable. This is a place to be complacent in. It's the most comfortable place I can be in, Lord. That doesn't make sense. If we look at Revelation 3, verses 14 through 16 and really down through 19, there's another church mentioned. And I believe this is a type or picture, if you will, of the church age that we're in today. It's called the Laodicea is the name of the church. In other words, what happened to this church? Well, they had taken, the Bible says, and they were neither cold nor hot. They had become what? Lukewarm. And there's very little things lukewarm that, you know, hot cocoa, it ain't good lukewarm. And neither is sweet tea, by the way. Amen. Sweet tea ain't good hot, for that matter. Or any tea's not good hot, for that matter, as far as I'm concerned. Tea's meant to be cold and lots of sugar. Amen. If you're going to put anything else, maybe a piece of lemon in it. Amen. And that's it. Y'all have your hot tea. Hot's for cocoa and coffee. Amen. Not for tea. But anyway, I'm simply saying, you think about complacency. When I drink a cup of hot tea, it makes me want to spew it out of my mouth. I don't want that mess. Amen. Nor do I. You don't want that. Amen. Nor do you want a cup of cold cocoa. You don't want that either. In other words, Jesus, if you read that in Revelation, you'll see the Bible said, hey, I wish you were hot, or I wish you were cold rather than this lukewarm. And I believe today that if we were honest with ourselves, I said ourselves, I think a lot of us would have to say, Lord, help me. I'm kind of lukewarm. I'm not really hot like I used to be or like I want to be. Maybe I'm not as cold as I once was. Thank the Lord. But I'm kind of like that tea. That's lukewarm. You think about today, complacency causes us to stay in the boat. Don't stay in the boat today. I asked this morning, and this is kind of, I guess, kind of a mixed bag of things, but it's what the Lord gave me. Are we complacent when it comes to our church number and the people that's here? Are we complacent when it comes to our devotion time and the things that we have in our relationship with the Lord personally? Are we complacent when it comes to our witnessing and our soul winning efforts? You're saying, I'm doing more than I used to do. Okay, but is today the Lord asking you to step out the boat a little bit? You think about complacency can cause us to stay in the boat. I think about complacency can cause us to stay in the boat and can cause us to have some missed opportunities in our lives. You think about what a missed opportunity it would have been, hindsight being 20/20, as we say, if Peter would have taken and stayed in that boat, not got out. What a missed opportunity that would have been for him if he would not have got out of the boat. He would have missed the chance to do what? Walk on the water. And us still be talking about it today. He would have missed the chance to walk on the water. He would have missed the chance. Maybe like application for you and I today, maybe if we take and we stay in the boat and we're complacent, maybe we might lose the chance to see someone saved. Maybe we might lose the chance to see someone helped and encouraged in the Lord. Or maybe we might take as a church and lose the chance to see our church grow and to see others' lives helped and changed for the Lord. Maybe we might lose that if we don't get out of the boat. We might miss that opportunity. Peter took and he got out of the boat.